Hi, I'm Jeff, and I'm a therapist.
And I'm Tyler, and I'm a patient.
We're going to talk about trauma, healing, and everything. Everything is traumatic. Have, I think, some uplifting and some gender kind of, I think it's going to be more of a, I think, a feel good about yourself movie than Oppenheimer, which is going to be like, we are monsters.
Right. Well, yeah, I think Barbie is going to have like an uplifting kind of, but it'll also have an existential message.
At least
at the beginning.
Which I may need after we realize. Yeah.
I mean, Cillian Murphy just like,
oh man,
he just looks great in the role. Honestly, like he looks fantastic.
You know, the whole thing is, I mean, it's evil, but is it a lesser evil than what could have happened? And the question is, you don't know, but we are the ones that did it. America's the one that used the nuclear weapon.
We are the
twice.
Yep.
And we used it on innocent people.
And we've nuked the shit out of ourselves way more than anyone else. It's fucking nuts.
Yeah. And we celebrated it. We celebrated it.
And welcome to Everything is Traumatic. We're here talking about Oppenheimer and Barbie, opening it up here. Kind of sneaked it on Jeff because he was in the middle of speaking about it. But sorry, Jeff. But
that's okay. It's okay, man. We're talking about the possibility, and who knows when this episode will come out, but the idea of maybe doing a Barbie Oppenheimer double feature, starting in the morning with Oppenheimer, maybe having a bathroom break and maybe some time to get ourselves back together and then watching Barbie.
Exactly.
And then maybe doing a podcast after that.
Oh. Excuse me.
kind of choked you up, doesn't it?
Ooh, it does. It chokes me up thinking about the nuclear bomb and Mattel. That's a great idea. Maybe we should do like a special like podcast on Barbie and Oppenheimer.
Yeah. Yeah. How we feel after seeing those films.
We can call it Barbie and Oppenheimer Arch is Traumatic.
And I'm pretty sure they're going to do a crossover and have a Barbie Oppenheimer doll where they have a fat man and little boy model with them.
Oh, my God. That would be fantastic.
Yeah.
If I was Mattel, I would be drooling. And not just the money, but the sheer irony.
Yeah, the sheer terror.
the sheer terror of Oppenheimer dolls.
The Oppenheimer Barbie comes with a shadow figure that was, or the shadow was burned into the brick after the atomic bomb dropped.
He's the destroyer of the world, and he's just killed.
Oh, man. People were just vaporized.
I know.
I guess if you're going to go, vaporization is probably one of the ways to do it. But that was the lucky people, the vaporized people.
Mm-hmm. Then everyone else, they got like a radiation poison and.
Yeah, and burns.
Yeah.
And then like the genetic shit.
Yeah. It's a. Kind of weird that Christopher Nolan wanted to do a movie about him now that I'm just sitting here like thinking about the atrocities of nuclear war.
Yeah.
But I mean, he is a man that changed the world. So, I mean, that I guess that's a story that does need to be told, like regardless if it's good or bad.
Yeah, I get you.
But that's actually not the subject tonight, is it, Jeff?
No, it is not. It is not, but it is a good way to sort of lighten the mood before we go into the subject.
Yeah, I guess that's true. It is a good. I mean, talking about nuclear war is a good way to
ease into the topic.
Yeah, we were really fucking in Happy Junction back there a few minutes ago.
Yeah, one more thing about nuclear war before we move on. So it's very interesting that that was the horror of my childhood growing up, that we were always afraid of a nuclear war. And they had the movies on, you know, The Day After and Threads and all these movies about nuclear war. And then we sort of grew out of that because of all the arms stuff and the Cold War. And we're just like, okay, nuclear war is not going to happen. And now we're back to that. Plus climate disaster. So we got both of those things to worry about.
I guess like our, my new age, I mean, that's the thing though, is that like my generation, we still worry about getting nuked.
Especially
true. Where we kind of live at, because it is close-ish to Oak Ridge. Like, I mean, it's enough of a, it's enough in my head that I saw how far away I was from Oak Ridge to know that I'm out of the 25-mile radius.
It's definitely going to, definitely would be a target. We used to talk about driving to Oak Ridge if there was a nuclear war, because we were wanting to be vaporized.
Oh, wow. Like, go ahead and get it out of the way, right?
Yeah, you don't want to survive the nuclear holocaust.
Why not, though?
Because then it's just like, it's on all those movies, you know?
Like Mad Max?
Yeah, yeah. That doesn't look like a whole lot of fun.
I want to know, since we're talking about it, I want to know why, and I'm sure there's a reason, maybe I'm going to look like a jackass, but like, nuclear holocaust happens, and then everyone decides like the only clothes that can withstand the blast is BDSM gear.
Well, I mean, I just want to know why Max was so mad.
Oh,
well, who upset Max,
dude? If you were there,
so angry,
I would be angry. He's the road warrior. This motherfucker has been put up with so many goddamn BDSM dress fucking people coming at him in fucking leather thongs and hockey mask.
And the pigs, or don't forget the pigs.
And the pigs. And Thunderdome. Like, yes, be pissed.
A brief aside, one of my all-time favorite movies is Mad Max Fury Road.
Oh, Fury Road was one so of
the-
good.
The best movies ever made, in my opinion. I watched that 5 times at the theaters.
God, it's so
good. And I mean, it wasn't like a plan, but it was just like people wanted to keep going to see it. And I wanted people to see it. Mm-hmm. And it was just so fun to watch that on the big screen. What a great movie.
That is a great movie.
Yeah.
You know, and.
But we've sort of divulged from our topic, which is feeling like people are angry with us.
Yes. If you're listening and you feel like everyone is mad at you, I'm here to tell you that you're not alone, and that they probably are.
One thing for sure is we are not mad at you.
I am not.
We're just happy that you're listening to our podcast. Mm-hmm. So we are not angry with you.
No, not at all. But... yeah, at least for me, like, because I brought this up to you before, like, yeah, I brought this up to you when we went to the fucking movies the other day. Just, like, apologizing because I thought, like, I had been, like, annoying you and making you mad. Because, I mean, for the folks that are listening, I call Jeff, or at least text Jeff. Like, we talk pretty frequently anyways.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
So it's not like, it's not, you know, it's not that like we talk to each other too much, but it's like, he'll send me a funny meme. I laugh at it. And then I'm like, so do you want to, try to record sometime this week, Jeff? And then like, I just feel like I'm constantly like just riding his ass when like in reality, I don't feel like I am.
But, you know, I think one of the things that's important, and so you didn't need to apologize, but I think it was okay for you to check that out. Mm. And so that's one of the things I think is important to do is, hey, am I annoying you? So, like, the thing in your head is, Jeff's pissed off at me, or somebody's pissed off at me. You can ask. Mm. And the whole idea is, you weren't annoying me, and so I hope it made you feel better when I was like, no, man, you're not annoying me. this is great. You know, it's great that we're making this podcast. It's great. We're at the movies. Mm. By the way, we both had fruit punch at the movies.
We did.
And it was delicious.
Tropicana?
Yeah. It was so like good. The small, it was a lot, but I probably could have drunk another one of those cups, those small cups of that.
You see, I did too, but I didn't want to miss the movie. So like I drank it all.
Yeah, it was so delicious.
It was so good.
But yeah.
They need to have refill stations in the actual theater. Or there needs to be an option to pause. What happened to intermissions, really?
I really feel now this movie was not that long. No. We saw Asteroid City, but it was over, I think it was a little over 2 hours.
It was an hour and 45.
Okay. You know, that's about the length of my bladder strength. I mean, I can hold a little past that, but these three, I mean, like speaking of Oppenheimer, I think it's like 47 hours long. Or something. It's long. It's got to be. All his movies are long, three and a half hours. So, so it needs an intermission, and you could just have the like a timer ticking down with a mushroom cloud blinking. Just maybe 50. I just need a minute. I just need to run to the restroom and run back.
Yeah.
So
I agree. But
that's one of the bad things about going to movies in the theater is you have to miss part of the movie if you go to the restroom.
Yeah. Yeah. But we always talk about movies. We will always talk about movies, but that's not what we're talking about.
That is correct.
That's not what we're talking about here. Getting a little off.
You know, it was interesting because when Tyler brought this up, the whole thing is, yeah, I feel that way too. And I think, probably there are times when we, like at work or with your partner or with a friend or just anybody, that there are times when we think other people are mad at us. And that feels really bad to think like, oh, I pissed somebody off and they're mad at me. It's just an unsettling feeling.
It especially hits home, like at least for me, when there's like, there's change in the behavior. Like one little like slip up or one little like change, and it does kind of like throw me off kilter. Like, are you pissed off at me? Did I do something to upset you?
Right.
What did I do? And I guess for me, I also feel bad about it. I think about it a lot because I will say things very like matter of fact, or at least like I feel like I come across harsh. And it's not that I'm meaning to come across harsh. I'm trying to think about it in real time. And so I'm trying to like understand and process something. And then sometimes like the worst thought comes out first. And I'm like, so I'm a piece of shit? It's like, no. It's not that. It's just you left your socks out in the living room kind of thing. It's like, could you just pick up your socks? I'm like, wait. So I'm the worst person who's ever existed. Right. And
so there's a lot of, we've talked about this before. There's a lot of techniques and concepts in cognitive behavioral therapy or cognitive behavioral work, where it's about controlling self-talk and it's about getting rid of irrational beliefs. And one of the top irrational beliefs is that everybody will like us all the time, or that everybody's going to like us. And if somebody doesn't like us, then that means something bad. Either we're unlovable, or, you know, we can't have relationships or whatever. And the truth is, if we're around people enough, we're going to upset. If you're around people long enough, you're going to upset them.
Oh yeah.
And so with that cognitive kind of thing, we're just like, okay, so I'm going to upset somebody. That's not the end of the world. It's okay if I've upset something. It might be unpleasant, but we can work through this. We can talk through it. We can, you know, whatever. And it softens a little bit, but because the other thought is, oh, if I've upset somebody, then I'm a bad person, or I'm not a lovable person, or whatever. And that's the irrational part.
Yeah. And what was one of the phrases was, not everyone is going to like you, or
Yeah, yeah. There are going to be people, no matter how hard you try in your life, that don't like
you. Yep. And that's, you have to be a, you have to kind of be okay with that. I know for a long time it was hard for me to accept that, but I mean, really at this point, I just know that if someone does not like me, then that is, that's their choice.
It's just, you know, the whole idea is everybody's going to like us. We just can't make everybody like us, you know?
You can't please everyone.
Exactly. You can try, but it's not going to work.
Yeah.
You know, it's sort of just, I don't know. And so like a lot of my stuff is from like low self-esteem or wanting to be liked, or, you know, if I'm tired, I'm much more likely to think that somebody is mad at me. If I'm like at full level, I'm just like, mm-hmm. you know, if I've had a good night's sleep and everything's going well, I'll just like, oh, it's not a big deal. But if I'm tired or I've had a bad day or something else is going on, it's just like, what have I done to upset that person? And so it's just that the way your brain works when your body and mind are tired, we're more apt to think people are upset with us.
Yeah, that's a big thing for me too. If I'm tired, if I'm like, if it's been a long shoot day, if I, you know, haven't been to bed yet, that's when all like really like the sad self-loathing kind of thoughts come in. And
yeah,
I saw it displayed very well in have you ever watched BoJack Horseman?
Yes.
So there's that episode that was, it's actually called Stupid Piece of Shit.
All right.
And it's the episode where like, it kind of shows his day and like, it shows his inner monologue of him just being like, stupid piece of shit. You're fucking stupid. You're worthless. You're doing this wrong. You're doing that wrong. You're fucking up. You're not a good person. You stupid piece of shit. How could you forget this thing? How could you forget that thing? And it's like, when I'm like super tired, that's when it hits like just the fucking hardest. Cause it's like, it's almost like the reasonable intellectualizing side of me is like already like clocked out for the day. Like he's done.
Yeah.
He's gone home to his wife.
Yeah.
And it just feels like it's just me having to deal with it. So it's just like, man, whatever. Maybe I am a stupid little piece of shit.
That's a great example of negative self-talk. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's perfect example because we don't sometimes even know what we're doing. It's just a tape playing. I must be no good. I must be no good. Whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we don't even aware that that happens, but we've learned that somehow in our lives, either somebody's told us that or we've just, but that's the perfect example of how it works. And you have to actually go in there and attack that and be like, I'm not a stupid piece of shit. I might have made a mistake or somebody might be upset with me, but that doesn't make me a bad person. You know, it's, you have to go in and dispute that stuff. And it takes a lot of energy to do that, but it takes more energy to tear yourself apart all the time.
God, it's like this internal court case where you have to fucking,
yeah,
you have to go up to the goddamn stand. You have to wait. Your Honor, first of all, I'm not a stupid piece of shit, okay? Look at reasonably, I'm doing pretty well.
Yeah.
Exhibit A, I'm not.
That's a great way to say, I mean, that's a perfect way to describe what's happening in our brains, is you have to actually defend yourself against the shit that your brain is telling you.
All right. This is
all right.
The brain versus Tyler Broadway.
Yeah.
How do you plead? You've been charged with being a stupid piece of shit.
How do you plead? Yeah, I mean, but it's work. And that's why it's so hard. And, you know, you have to be aware of what those messages are. It doesn't matter where they came from, really, in my opinion. It matters is what they are.
Right.
And how do you basically say, you know what? I am doing pretty well. I'm not a stupid piece of shit. But I feel bad today and I'm tired and I might have made a mistake or whatever it is. Or somebody's mad at me or whatever. It's hard to do.
It is hard to do, but it's ever since I learned it from doing DBT, the checking the facts.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where it is like that analytical, like, it almost feels like emotional bureaucracy in a way, because it's like,
yeah,
okay, I'm not a piece of shit because exhibit A, I have a good car, I have a place to live, I have a job, yep, I'm generally a good person, I wish good for other people. Like, that skill has helped so much in like combating that like broken record of,
yeah,
fucking stupid piece of shit. And
because you're disputing your irrational beliefs, mm-hmm, and replacing them with rational beliefs.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I screwed up today, but that doesn't make me a piece of shit. Mm-hmm. You know, it's that kind of, you know, just trying to dispute that kind of feel, and it changes the way we feel about it. Mm-hmm. So I made a mistake is totally different than I'm a stupid piece of shit.
Yeah. Yeah, and allowing yourself to have that grace to be okay that you made the mistake. Like, we're human. Mistakes are going to happen.
Yeah. I mean, you've talked about DBT, which is dialectical behavior therapy, and I've talked about CBT, which is cognitive behavioral therapy. And so those terms sound sort of complicated, but what it is about is trying to listen to the self-talk you do. So you go to the store and you forget your wallet. Oh, God damn, I'm a stupid piece of shit. What a stupid piece of
shit. How could you forget the fucking wallet? You're a monster. You're a goddamn bane to society.
Yeah. So you have to listen to that and say, okay, I left the wallet. I have to go home now. That's annoying. I wish I hadn't done that. But that doesn't make me a stupid piece of shit. Everybody loses their wallet sometimes, or leaves their wallet. And so it's just disputing these negative things you tell yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And this all or nothing thinking of either I'm great or I'm a piece of shit. You know, it's just disputing some of these rigid kind of things that we've learned. Mm-hmm. You're not faulty. This is what we've learned from TV and our parents and our friends and just everything. We've learned these kind of things. But you know what? If I leave my wallet home, I'll say I'm a stupid piece of shit. But if you said, Jeff, I left my wallet home, I wouldn't say you're a stupid piece of shit. I'd say, oh yeah, we all do that. I would just try to like be nice to you and say, yeah, we all do that sometimes. But why can't I do the same thing for myself? And it's learning to be graceful to yourself, like you might be to somebody else.
Yep. To take care of yourself too. Like, that's something we touched on in a past episode, I'm pretty sure, but just kind of like how we're brought up that way, that it's wrong to take care of ourselves when we should have our needs met. We have needs. We're humans. We're needy. We're needy, needy, grubby, hairless apes, and it's fine.
I'm pretty hairy.
Okay. Semi-hairy apes.
You know, it's freaky to look at apes sometimes. There are chimps and their facial expressions.
Oh, yeah.
Because they look just like us.
They do.
Sometimes. They'll just do a human thing and it's just like, damn.
Damn. That monkey
chimp just looks just like me.
He just roasted us.
No, yeah. I mean, I think it's the way our brains are wired. And so what it does to make things humor is it totally goes in. It goes a direction and then it just veers from that direction in such an extreme way, mm-hmm, that it shocks our brain, and our brains are just like, oh, wow, I didn't see that coming.
Yeah,
like, and then it becomes amusing and funny. Yeah. Yeah. What the hell is going on? But it's the same thing with our thinking processes when we're just unable to think out of that box and we just keep beating ourselves up. And again, most of us don't even know we're doing it most of the time. We have to be aware of what we're saying to ourselves.
Yeah. And I mean, like, some of it, like you said, with it, like, you know, I even know when you're doing it, like, it could just be as simple as things that I feel like you've like heard when you're a kid.
Yep.
Almost. Not saying that like my parents called me a stupid piece of shit, but maybe it was just kind of like the feeling of being in a household where everyone just kind of yelled, which does bother me. I don't know what it is about yelling, but it just like it irks me. There's no need to yell. Not when you're trying to talk to someone like that. It just makes me want to disengage and not partake. Because you by raising your voice and yelling, you've just decided not to have a civil discussion about it.
Right.
You're right. Allowing your emotions to get the better of you, and I get it. Because, I mean, you can't separate those emotions, but you need to express them in a more constructive and healthy way than yelling at someone.
Yeah, and if there's yelling going on in the house and you're a kid, you're going to try to make that yelling stop in some way. So if that means not talking about your feelings, or that means trying to help somebody else because it may feel like you're like, okay, this is unpleasant, so I must have done something wrong here. So how can I fix this? Mm-hmm. What can I do? And is that I'm going to be quiet, or I'm going to, you know, whatever I'm going to do. But we're learning all this stuff as we grow up. And then we peg it with all the things about just what society says about what men should do or what women should do and our roles, and then what happiness is. And, you know, all these things that we're just told should make us happy and make us feel, and what the rules are. And then we just incorporate all that into our brains.
Yep, we let society decide the norm for us in a way.
Yeah.
Or at least, I don't know, because like, I feel like it's a very subjective thing of what is normal. What is... you know, what is good? What is, why is it, why is Christianity the top moral code? You know, what's wrong with this other, the Quran or this other book or this other scroll or this other thing? You're like, why is not eating people bad? Like, it's all, you mentioned it was like a Freud thing, right? What was that called?
The superego?
Not the superego. I guess maybe it is the superego. I don't know. Just the concept of like, you know, being depending on where your environment is kind of like.
Right. Where superego sort of says your cultural norms of your culture are sort of what Freud would have not said there's a right or a wrong. It's just whatever your cultural norms are. So it's, you know, if we were born in Saudi Arabia, we would most likely be Muslim. Mm-hmm. If we were born in India, we probably would most likely be Hindu, because that's what we would have learned and grown up in that societal kind of setup. Mm-hmm. Christianity just happens to be the predominant religion in America. And so that's what most people are, because that's what we grew up learning.
And especially in the South. Like,
yes.
And like those, there are things like as a teenager that I thought like were correct or thought was true, and like that I look back now and I'm like, man, I really cringe at that aspect of me, of who I was.
You know, to me, the whole journey of life is about adapting and changing and learning. And that doesn't mean that like somebody couldn't go through their whole life and believe in Christianity or Islam or a certain religious system, but that we should be evolving. We should be taking new information in and examining it. Mm-hmm. And hopefully we're growing and maturing just like we do physically, that our brain is open. That doesn't mean we have to just say, oh, this is right or wrong, but we should be at least looking at things. We should be evolving, hopefully, right? Over our lifetime, we shouldn't stay the same.
Yeah, the idea is to progress, not regress.
Yeah.
And I just feel like there's a lot of regressing happening.
And I feel like any type of fundamentalism, and I'm not just aiming that at religion, but any kind of political rigidity or religious rigidity that is just that never moves, to me, feels sort of like you're not looking or listening. You're not learning. You're just stuck. It's like you're stuck in adolescence and you never move out of it.
Mm-hmm. I think that, isn't that arrested development? Isn't that like the actual term of arrested development?
Yeah. And I feel like that's where a lot of very rigid faith traditions or political traditions are based. And they just, you just stop. Mm-hmm. This is wrong. No matter what, no matter what situation.
It's just trying. Yeah.
And I feel like, again, I understand. I'm not saying you can't believe a certain thing. But when it becomes very rigid and oppressive is where it seems to be a problem.
Yes.
You can believe whatever you want, but when it begins to bleed over into other people's rights, it becomes a problem.
That's when I have a problem, is when you start pushing it on everyone else. You need to be able to respect that people have different beliefs than you and still love them regardless.
A friend of mine put a post up, and I'm going to try to find it because I think it's a really, really nice post because it sort of fits in with what we're talking about.
Well, while you're looking up the post, I will take this time to give a shout out to our super fan, Tiffy, who regularly listens to the podcast and gives us tremendous feedback and lets us know that she likes what we're doing. She just kind of wishes that we shouted out to her more. So, Tiffy, this is for you. We're shouting out to you. Thank you for listening. And thank you to everyone else who is listening. I know it sounds like we're about to wrap it up, but I assure you we have more podcasts to come as we have this swell post that's coming up from a friend of Jeff's. And then after that,
so this is, we don't know where it will go.
After that, we kind of don't know where it will go. Yeah, we don't know where it'll go from there, but stay tuned.
So this is a quote from Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who was a philosopher, religious theologian during Nazi Germany. But I love this quote. The person who's in love with their vision of community will destroy community, but the person who loves the people around them will create community everywhere they go.
That's some real shit. That's real. Yeah.
So it made me think of a simpler version is I don't care what you believe. I care how you treat people around you. I mean, it really, that's what really matters.
That's what,
how do you treat people? Mm-hmm. Not how you, what you say you think, but how are you treating people? Mm-hmm. And are you creating community or are you destroying community?
And I mean, that's honestly why, like, I think, I don't know, I'm trying to think of how to word this, but like, it kind of falls in line with the radical empathy, like, regardless of belief, like, extend that love. And like you said, like, how do they treat people? Like, I've met people with like shitty, very right wing leaning views, not necessarily fascist, but like very conservative but see them do like everything they can for someone they care about.
Yeah.
So is that the same as creating community though? If you're only doing things that you care about for your family.
I mean, I know some people that are very, very religious, much more religious than I, but are very kind to others, accepting and loving of others. Mm-hmm. And if you ask them what their beliefs were, they would tell you they are sure what their beliefs are, but they're not trying to shove things down your throat. They are treating you with decency and respect. And to me, that's what a Christian or a Buddhist or an Islamic message is treat people with kindness.
Yep.
Make people ask you why you're being kind to them. And then they can say, well, this is my belief system.
Yep.
And it treats me to be kind. Don't like you're going to hell. I love you so much. I have to tell you, you're going to hell. That doesn't feel very kind to me.
And that's very twisted. That's a very twisted way of putting love in that, in that context. Like, I love you, but you're going to hell. Like, yeah, that, that's very warped to me. You're putting a very warped view on what love is.
Yeah.
And, you know, if everyone is kind to each other, then we absolutely have no reason to wonder if everyone is mad at us.
That's true.
You know?
So I would encourage you to do exactly what Tyler did. Now, you can, may not be able to do this in every situation, but if you think somebody's mad at you, you can do one of two things. You can do the positive self-talk and say, like, even if Jeff is mad at me, Jeff and I are friends, and I know that we'll be okay. Mm-hmm. And so if he's mad at me, that might be unpleasant, but we'll work through it.
Yeah.
Or just say, are you mad at me, Jeff? And sometimes you'll be like, oh yeah, I'm mad because you did this, you work it out. But most of the time people are going to say, no, I'm not mad at you.
Yeah.
And then you don't have to have it in your head. Like, I'm worried about that.
It's almost, yeah, it's weird how much a question can be like that disarming in a sense. Cause it's like, anytime that I've actually just like on a level have been like, hey man, or hey, or, are you upset with me? What did I do wrong? You can get like, it's very like disarming. Like, it makes, it's the perfect opportunity to like just open up.
Yeah. It's communication, which is what we can't read each other's minds. And so we have to ask. And sometimes it's hard to ask, but that's the only way you know what's going on with somebody else, is if you ask them.
Yeah.
Because they may just be grumpy. And they may not be mad at us at all. So we don't know unless we ask. So it's part of that, this whole thing. It's hard to communicate.
It is.
In this world.
It's hard. Human interaction is so weird. Like, having friends is weird.
Having friends is, I mean, it's easier not to interact. But it's also sad not to interact.
Oh, yeah.
I do find this as I get older, my circle of people that I talk to frequently decreases, not because I don't want to talk to people. I don't know why it happens, but it just, there's three or four people that I communicate with on an ongoing basis. And I have my work people and stuff that I talk to, but, you know, on a normal weekly basis, I just talk to two or three people. And that's all I need.
I mean, as of recently, I've talked to so many people, honestly. Like, but it's a good thing. I mean that in a good way, because I like talk to them. It's usually over the phone, like you, or like my roommate, or, you know, just any, like, it's nice also like being on the other end and like talking to more people, especially when you have projects going on and,
right,
wanting to work with them and work on that. And, you know, like, I guess for me, it's almost like that's how I get almost like personal, I feel, with people, is like just doing a project like this with someone. It's kind of like my weird way of like communicating, almost like bonding. This is like, yeah, my fishing.
Yeah. This has always been rewarding to me. I mean, just to, it's just, these are these common issues that we all have, but they're also hard issues. Mm-hmm. And when you're really down, it can be, if you think somebody's mad at you or you think everybody's mad at you, it can really put you in a difficult place.
Yeah, it's hard. It's hard to get out of that, especially if you're a little nervous or afraid to even ask if they're mad.
Yeah.
And fear of making them even more mad.
And we just, again, because we want to make sure she hears it, we do not want Tiffy mad at us.
Yeah, we don't want Tiffy mad at us. So this is another shout out
to another Tiffy. And second shout out
to Super
to Tiffy.
Super fan Tiffy.
Super fan.
Super
fan. We have some stickers for you.
We have stickers. I actually might. Okay, so I'm out of, I've given stickers to people and I'm missing, like, I gave away all the logo ones of our logo.
Oh, I got more of those. Yeah, we can get more.
We can get more. Okay. Yeah. Well, we'll give Tiffy some stuff. And if you guys want some stuff,
we'll get her a wag bag.
Yeah, if you guys want stuff, do us a solid and share and like and subscribe to Everything Is Traumatic on Spotify and on Amazon Music and Google Podcast and the YouTube, which is under Shot for Shot Productions.
And if you are lucky, we may just come to your house unannounced in the middle of the night to shoot a version of this podcast.
We'll shoot a live podcast and give you a swag bag.
Exactly.
And let people know. Let us know what we can do better. You know?
Yeah. Let us know what you want to talk about. Yo, what's traumatic?
What is traumatic to you guys? We're posing it to you. I want to set up an email, so we'll probably set up a Gmail account. Maybe you guys can write in or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
Right?
We're just getting started on this thing. I think we're realizing there's a lot of trauma in the world.
There is. Like, we're finding the big issues and the smallest, most minuscule issues with what we've came.
And the good news is, once we work through one, there's another one.
It's kind of
just will sprout up. Once we feel like we've settled one issue, another issue will arise.
Yeah, it's like breaking a rock. If you break a rock, it just makes us smaller rocks.
Yeah.
And you break those rocks up until they're, you know.
Nobody knows
the trouble I see.
That's the song that Tyler and I used to sing when we were in jail together.
Nobody
chained at the waist.
That's true. They chained us in a weird way.
It was a rough chaining.
Did you request that?
Yeah, I wanted it that way.
Okay. Well, next time, do I get like a say in how we're chained?
Yeah, if we go to jail again and they chain us together, you can choose this time.
Because I'm going to choose like the ankle or something, not the waist.
Yeah, they chained. It was weird because they chained me looking at your back to you. So it was like
I wasn't too fond of that. Like, it was, for one, very hard to poop.
It was a little bit like almost like a reverse human centipede kind of thing.
I mean, I wouldn't call it that. I mean, it is, don't get me wrong, it is a privatized prison, and you know, they did chain us to the waist, and for one, they took requests from prisoners, which was weird, and two, they chained us to the waist, and again, facing my back. The human centipede, they were ass to mouth. This was more
dick. But what if dick to butt? What if human centipede was ass to ass?
Then hold on, aren't there bugs like that? Let's not bugs like that.
It wouldn't really be a centipede.
Oh my god. Okay, maybe we'll end things off on this retelling. Have you seen
the human butterfly?
Have you seen Requiem for a Dream?
I have.
Okay. Yep. The part. Okay. Yep. Spoilers ahead. Okay. If you haven't seen Requiem for a Dream, grab the kids, get the family together, pop some corn, and pop on Requiem for a Dream. It's a feel good movie for everyone.
It is the feel good movie of the year.
And there's a beautiful scene. We're going to give spoilers to it, so you can stop it right here and watch the movie and come back. Okay. There's an ass to ass scene with the creepy with like the old man, and the lady's like, "What do you want?" And
ass to ass.
It's just like, hold on, who directed him to like be that enthusiastic
that way? Ass to ass.
So like, he even like diagrams it out with like. And man, how evil was Keith David in that?
I haven't watched the whole thing for a while. It's a mess, man. It's just not a happy movie.
No, not at all. It's kind of a downer.
It's just about the ravages of drug addiction.
Yeah. But there, Keith David being like super goddamn wicked of just like the part where she's like going back into the sex working game and like sitting on the couch, and he just like unzips his pants and stuff, and he's like, I know it's pretty, but I didn't let it out for air. And it's just like, god damn,
some evil ass shit. To ass.
Some evil shit.
All right, could you say ass could you say ass a little bit different, like a little like older, more perverted man?
Yeah, I
feel ass like, to ass.
I feel like they used the take where he was just like, all right, this one we're just gonna have fun with. Just have fun with it.
Yeah, we'll just enjoy the ass to ass. Just the lighter talking of it.
Ass to ass.
Cut.
Everybody sweating. There was a lot of sweating in that movie.
There was, yeah. And
all right, well, yeah. we've really outworn our welcome.
We have reached
ass to ass.
I think either we've reached a logical conclusion or we reached it a while back and we kept going.
we may have jumped the shark.
Oh, we might have jumped the. Is this our jump the shark episode? It might be.
It may have been. Yes.
Oh no, we're talking about Barbie and Oppenheimer, and that shit's not is going to come out when this episode is like. It's already going to be like a month in theaters by the time this comes out. I don't know.
It's all right, man. It'll always be. The pictures are eternal.
Jeff, do you think the audience is mad at us?
I think they might be.
I think that's my final thought.
It's okay. It's okay. Because you can't always please the audience. Yeah. So we will continue to do these, even if you might be mad at us.
Well, from all of us here at Everything is Traumatic, I'm Tyler.
And I'm Jeff.
And please, don't be mad at us.